We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs. I'm the pastor of Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. Been privileged to pastor that church for almost 23 years. Yesterday they had Pastor Appreciation Day for us, and I want you to know that I appreciate them. I appreciate them immensely, because if it wasn't for the people coming to church, it would be a very lonely place. And you can give whatever title you want to yourself, but if you don't have the credentials, if you don't have the authority to give that title, I'm not sure how well it's going to stick. But when other people recognize God's gifting in you, that's very, very important. So I want you to know, if anybody's listening from Merit Assembly of God, I want to thank you for the privilege of being your pastor and doing life together with you. So I consider myself, my wife, and our kids to be blessed and highly favored in order to walk with such tremendous saints. Honestly, I'm sure that there are phenomenal Christians all over the county, but I treasure the men and women of God at Merit Assembly of God. They are phenomenal, phenomenal people of character, and I just bless them today. So want to let you know, we've been getting some phone calls at the church asking for names of the businesses that help bring this broadcast to you. And I also want to say thank you. There are some individuals that have started supporting the Refresh Radio broadcast on a regular basis as well, and we're quite thankful for that. So today I'm going to tell you about them. First of all, Advanced Christian Training Schools. They have a free video Bible school that meets on Tuesday nights at our fellowship hall. You can reach them at 633-0432. We have Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. Bill Andriak, he and his wife Heidi have been at our church for a number of years now. I think probably close to 8 years, seven, 8 years, something like that, which means it's probably more like 10, but I don't remember how many it is, to be honest with you. But he can help you out with air conditioning and heating needs here in the central part of the county. We have Jits Concrete, 536-5804. If you need any concrete, block, or stucco work, you can call them. Again, 536-5804. And they've been in operation here in the county for decades. This family actually predates us at Merit Assembly of God. And then Wyrick Air Heat and Electrical, they travel all throughout the county doing air conditioning, heating repairs, as well as electrical repairs. And their number is 632-9538. So I thought we'd start the week off by sharing every one of those. And I also want to say thank you to those who called in a pledge last week for the offering. If you did not get a chance to do that, you can still call one in. I assure you that there is not a cutoff time where they will not be grateful for any financial support that comes in to help keep the Word of God on the air. 632-1000, and mention that you listen to the Refresh Radio broadcast. I want to take you today to the passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. You know, when we're quoting verses from the book of Romans, we can quote a lot of verses from Romans chapter 8. I want to talk to you over the next few days from Romans chapter 7, because it sets us up for the things that we find in Romans chapter 8. So So in Romans chapter 7, verse number 1, it says this, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress, but if her husband dies, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused in the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life I found to bring death, for sin, taking the occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So Paul is setting the stage here, and he's explaining to the believers in Rome that the law has dominion over us as long as we live, that it is only when we die that that law loses its effect upon us. And he gives some examples there. And it says in verse number 4, it says, "Therefore, my brethren, you have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." The analogy that he used in the effect of the law was that of a woman who was married to a man, and the man died, and upon that time she was free to marry another person. And then he explains here in verse number 4, that it is the body of Christ, that because Christ died on our behalf, we have been freed from the law of sin and death, and we have been, that old covenant of bondage has been broken so that we can enter into a new covenant, a covenant of life with Jesus Christ. I am so thankful for the sufficiency of Jesus' life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and his everlasting intercession on our behalf. Thanks be to God. And so today, I have this saying that I mention, and that is this. God is not looking for a one-night stand with people. God is looking for a covenant life with you. He wants to be in covenant with us. A few weeks ago, I shared a message, and it was titled, The Gifted, the Blessed, and the Covenant. There are a lot of people who have natural giftings, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are walking in the blessings of God. Ishmael was blessed, but he was sent off from Abraham's presence with nothing more than some bread and some water. You can be blessed and not have much in the way of external evidence of that. But when you are Isaac, when you are walking in covenant, you are both blessed and gifted as well. So I want to encourage you today to walk in covenant with God. It is the highest quality of life. They continue to find over and over and over again, every time they do a sociological study, they find that the happiest people on the planet are the people who are walking in covenant with one another. The people who enjoy the fruits of their life, they're not the people that Hollywood portrays as the people who have all of the money. They're not the people with all of the looks that captivates the eyes here in this world. Those aren't necessarily the people who are the happiest. It is not the people with lots of money. It's not the people who are just moving from one relationship, one shallow relationship to another. In fact, they find exactly the opposite. They find that some of those people are the most miserable on the planet. They have all of the giftings, but they miss the fulfillment that comes from covenant. So today, I want to encourage you. It is not just the weak who are looking for covenant, but it is people who are looking for the highest quality of life that walk in covenant with Jesus Christ. I'm thankful. Listen, I am never going to apologize for being blessed. I'm just not. There are some people that get real uptight and they want to try and hinder, you know, and apologize for the blessings and the favor of God. And I'm not going to do that. Listen, I'm not walking in tremendous financial, you know, depths of resources. But I tell you what, when God blesses me, I'm very thankful for it. I'm very thankful for it. Let's get back to the Word of God here. Verse number 5, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. I want you to see that verse. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. I want to tell you this, that giving in to temptation will never result in a higher quality of life. It will produce death. It will produce separation. It is going to separate you from God. It will separate you from the resources of God. It will separate you from your money. It will separate you from your health. It will separate you from your job. It'll separate you from your marriage. It brings death. Sin brings death. And so much of our contemporary society is trying to find ways to justify keeping sin present in our lives, not realizing that the ultimate end of that, the result, is going to be death. That it's going to produce devastation. It's going to produce misery and heartache and despair. And I don't want that. God does not want that for you and I. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, Lord, pray this way, Lord, deliver us from evil. Come like a rushing flood and sweep us away. Get us out of that situation and put us in an environment where we can thrive. The devil is constantly looking for a toehold or a foothold. He is looking for any crack that he can use to find his way into your life. And today, if I could encourage you, holiness is actually not a bad thing. It is a great thing. It is a tremendous gift from God. We need to realize that holiness sets us up for life, where unrighteousness sets us up for death. And you know, I use this example, and that is this. If I am trying to justify a behavior and I am willing to argue in order to justify it, that I do not have that thing in my life, that thing has control of me in my life. And if I'm in bondage to that thing, then I need to be set free from that. And you know, there are so many people. There are people who right now, you could get into a discussion with them, and they are willing to justify their hatred of other people simply because they are different from themselves. There are people who are willing to justify and try and cling to sexual immorality that the Bible clearly defines as being something that is less than God's desired best. Listen, God wants you fulfilled in every area of your relationship with him, but it's on his terms, not our terms. There are people who want to justify alcoholism, and there are people who want to justify things that will kill them physically, that will impair them judgment-wise. Those are sorts of things that the devil wants to utilize to bring death into people's lives. Verse number 6, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You know, there's ways that you can do things and your heart not be in it. You can do it and fulfill the ultimate letter of the law, but God wants to take you beyond the have-to into a want-to relationship. There was a time when I had a job, I had a responsibility at this particular job, and I'll be honest with you, it was futile. It was a no-win proposition because of the region that we lived in. There was just a... I mean, by the time I would get done, the problem was back again. And so I went to the owner, and I explained to him. I said, "Hey, you know, would it be okay if I did this instead of that?" And the owner said, "Sure." Well, he had a brother that was a partner, and he didn't agree, and he didn't like the way that I was doing it. He just didn't agree with it. Not one of my we did not have the best relationship in the world, shall we say. And so you and I, if we try and fulfill all of the letter of the law, it's not going to take you long to realize that you cannot do it. And the Bible says that if we are guilty in one area of the law, that we are guilty of violating the entire thing. So we're in a pickle. And that's an Oklahoma expression. We're in a predicament. We've got a conundrum that I'm not sure that we could find a solution for, but God could. And so it says that what he has done is he went and paid the price for us. Jesus gave his life and was raised from the dead. And as a result of that, we have been delivered from the power of the law. Thank God for the all-sufficiency of the price that Jesus paid for you and I. His blood is available to every man, woman, and child for the forgiveness of their sins. All we have to do is say, "Yes, Lord. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Please forgive me of my sin." If we can humble ourselves and say, "God, I can't do it on my own," then we will realize how desperately we need Jesus. A couple of things was in Joshua, the 24th chapter, he's getting ready to die, and he says, you know, to the people who've now been delivered into the promised land, he said, choose who you're going to serve. Choose whom you're going to serve. And they said, we're going to serve the Lord. And he said, you can't do it. Today, I could speak a very liberating word into your life today, and that is this. If you are trying to live up to the requirements of God's word in your own strength, in your own wisdom, I'm just going to tell you right now, you can't do it. You can't do it. I remember an article, a booklet, a story that was written that I had to read in American literature when I was in college about someone who had fortified their life to where there were no weak spots in it, and yet because it was so fortified, there was no freedom, there was no mobility, it was useless. And today, I want you to know that God has delivered you from the power of the law, but he's done it for a purpose, and that is to enable you and I to serve him. Not out of a have to, but out of a want to. You know, the Bible says that God wants to take the written word and he wants to inscribe it on the tablets of our heart to where it is actually something that is within us, not something that we are simply reading. When we are at church, I'm not looking just to dispense information. I am looking to dispense the truth of God's word in a manner that people will want to appropriate that word in their life and give them a way to apply the word of God in their life. And today, the what I want to share with you about deliverance is this, that God wants to deliver us from the compulsory mindset where we've got to do it. It's mandatory. I've got to do this. And he wants to do a revolution, a renovation in our heart that says, I am privileged to be able to do this. And God has done a work to where we serve him in the newness of the Spirit. You know, share a little personal insight. My wife and I, at one point in time, I was working a full-time job as well as pastoring the church full-time. And my wife was a stay-at-home mom, and she helped, you know, take care of the day-to-day operations at the church while I was at my other job. And so we each had our responsibilities, and, you know, she had the kids at home, and so whenever I would come home, she was like, you know, they were very, very young at that point in time, and so she was looking for a little bit of freedom from you know, the supervision she had to bring and all of that, and she didn't understand, you know, what I was dealing with, and I didn't necessarily understand what she was dealing with, and so she would say, you know, I wish I had a job that I could go to, and it's like, you know, I wish that I could just spend a little bit more time at home like you are able to. You know, there, I saw a commercial on television, and I couldn't even begin to tell you what program it was for or anything like that, but it was a husband and a wife with a young child, and the husband was calling to tell his wife that he wasn't going to be home that night, and she said, so you get a night off from taking care of the kids, and he says, honey, I'm going to jail. You know that you are up to your limits when you are thinking that somebody going to jail is a reprieve for them and their behavior. You know what happened was our roles flipped, and my company went out of business that I was managing. It was a shoe chain, and they lost. They just went completely out of business, and so she had gone to and got a job in the healthcare industry. She was a certified nursing assistant, and she was working in a nursing home. And so now I'm at home and I'm doing the laundry and I'm doing the kids and I'm doing the laundry and I'm doing the dishes. And by the way, I will tell you this, that the first thing that I did when I saw how oppressive that those two things were, was I went out and bought a new washing machine and a new dishwasher. And so when she got home that night, she said, "Oh, sure, you wouldn't do this for me when I was at home, but you've got to start doing it." And you know what happened was we began to both appreciate what the other person was dealing with, to where we weren't looking at it and saying, "Okay, I've got to do this." Now we began to appreciate the other person, what they were going through. Right now, you may have a strain in relationship. It might be in your relationship with God. It might be with your relationship at church. It might be a relationship at home or on your job, wherever it might be. And it may be because you have fallen trapped to this, "I have to do this. I've got to do it." And it's a bondage mindset where you're only doing it because you have to. Today, I want to help you to see that God wants to do a better work in your heart and in my heart. Listen, I don't have to pastor Merit Assembly of God. I don't have to come and do the radio broadcast. These are things that I am privileged to be able to do, because if we are only doing it because we have to, we are missing out on a great joy and a great privilege and a great harvest. So I want to encourage you that if you're struggling this week and you're looking at people and saying, "Man, they're just constantly a strain on me. They're constantly draining the life out of me." I want to pray for you today that God would revive. It says that we would be able to serve in the newness of the Spirit. Would it be okay if the Holy Spirit just renewed you today at the beginning of this week to accomplish the task that you are privileged to partner with Him to accomplish for the kingdom of God? Let's pray, shall we? Father, I want to thank You that Jesus gave His life so that we would be freed from the death that was most certainly coming to us through our sin. God, I want to thank You today for delivering us so that we can serve You in newness of spirit. God, if there's anybody today that feels overwhelmed, burdened, Lord, if the joy has been sucked out of their life by the oppressive amount of work that they've got to do, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just flood where they are at right now, whether it is an office, whether it's a car, whether it's at home, whatever it is. Holy Spirit, would You renew us today? Would You restore the joy of salvation? Would You restore the joy of serving the body of Christ? Would You restore the joy of forgiveness today? In Jesus' name, may we serve You in newness of spirit. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise You with adequate words, but You leave me speechless. And I so long to sing You the song You deserve.